Hi guys, welcome to Made In, a podcast hosted by Asian women to tell stories of our culture and beyond. Made In is a safe living room space where we talk about our upbringing, the dilemmas in our lives, and highlight the beautiful work of POC people that keep us inspired. Thank you for joining us.
Hi everyone.
Hi, obviously a fucked up day if I can call it myself, but yeah, Jazz, how are you? Hate to ask, but how are you?
That is such a loaded question today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you and I can connect actually, because obviously speaking to other like Asian women in my community definitely helps to like unpack everything that's going on. This morning was definitely heavy. Like you texted me last night as like the news reporter you are, like always first on the move. And like, I kind of went to sleep thinking about it subconsciously. And then when I woke up and kind of was like flooded with everything mm-hmm. on people's stories and like the tweets and stuff, it definitely took me a while because I think I was in shock. Because like, I think there's a lot of layers to what has happened, which was that in Atlanta, there was a white male who went on like a shooting spree to three different massage parlors and killed 8 people, and 6 of them being Asian women. And obviously like, the complexity of, you know, the media's headline, you know, softening the blow that, you know, mm-hmm. it could have been racially targeted. So like there's that element. And just with like, personally, like with the recent murder in London of that woman who was just walking home at like 9 p.m. and like a cop ended up like murdering her. So like, I think there was also like a heightened alert for women to just be walking down the street and have to like be worried about that, and like how that came into play as well. And yeah. then combining both of that to be like an Asian woman like walking down the street, like I do get, you know, have subconsciously get nervous if I'm going to like a grocery store that like, is there going to be that one person who's like unhinged going to yell at me that I created corona or like all that stuff. So like it is a lot that I'm just kind of processing. And I think as we are learning more and like hearing more and reading more, it's just like not going away
for sure. Like I think it's something we're still processing. I think being in the intersection of being an Asian woman, we all have those stories of where we feel like we're over sexualized all the time, right? And that is, we talked about this in our episode where we talked about Asian masculinity too. You know, it's a polarization where we have our Asian men who are looked down upon and being undesirable, whereas the women play this subservient role. That's comes from literally like America or Western world wartime in Korea, mm-hmm. right? There's rape in Korea with armies, like in the history, in Vietnam, in the Vietnam War. And those mentalities that maybe are 50 years old or longer, and it goes beyond that because it's a global situation. Mm-hmm. You know, the diaspora that comes to North America or the diaspora that comes to the West, we still are seen like that. You know, like if you watch anything of what, you know, first of all, we have no representation in the media in Hollywood or whatever. And the reason why there's so many different levels to this, right? We talk about cultural appropriation, which to many, obviously the gravity isn't lives being killed. But the thing is that we aren't being seen as human. That's something that's a vein, that's a long cultural appropriation along the lines of being a trope of a woman. You know, when we have our culture being taken away and repackaged and cleansed of anything that has to do with us, that takes away our culture. We lose that part of our history. And that's why, you know, all these things work together in tandem. It's not one thing. And also having other races, you know, Black, Indigenous people have their own, you know, I would even say more extreme situations, you know, we get pit against each other. That's the whole, mm-hmm. that's the white supremacist, like that's what
winning.
That's what it is. They want us, you know, to quarrel at the bottom among our own Asian cultures too. You know, there's a hierarchy in Asian culture. We can't ignore that for sure.
Yeah.
And have us, you know, go at each other's necks, being like, I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, not my own, but the Chinese community in Canada, I can't say it has been nice to Black people either. But us pitting each other against each other isn't doing anything but fueling white supremacy. They're still at the top, they're in the boardrooms, they make the decisions. And of course, now we see, like you said, in the media, we have the institution of the police force saying, oh, I don't know if it's racially motivated. Because, you know, this guy got taken in, you know, unharmed. They obviously had a chat with this guy, had learned so much about him, like even the fact that he's a sex addiction. But this
and
guy,
he just had a bad day. And yeah. this is what he decided to do. Like,
exactly.
I'm sorry. How's that?
That quote is disgusting. Like, the whole, the humanness that given to this man who fucking planned out where he was going. You know, we're talking about Asian-owned massage parlors. We know what you're talking about. That's a really planned out situation. In the span of an hour, you go to three different ones. You drive, you know, these are places of intent. It's not
miles
like you just
away.
Pass by and you're like, oh, I'll just go in, which is still fucking gross. But like having a sex addiction and then going to these Asian massage parlors and just opening fire. And the fact that like
to diminish your pain and by getting rid of these triggers that I had with for my sex addiction with this massage parlor is like your thought process was to kill them is like what's going to save you.
Exactly. And the thing is like the authorities, how they reacted saying, it, you know, literally quoting, oh, he just had a bad day. You're literally taking the vein of, you know, Asian women who have always faced this whole incel thing too, though, right? Like it's, oh, he had a bad day. He took it out on mostly women, mostly Asian women. That's not how the fuck to do it. Like these people's lives will never cut back, you know?
It's not even taking away, like you literally took away people's lives because of your small inconvenience to your fucking sex addiction. And like, sure, maybe this is all like allegedly because like, it's not, I keep seeing all the news kind of like evolving. So like, I don't want to like say something that's not maybe factual, but yeah, just seeing that I think was so disgusting. And even the other side of this part is that like the whole hypersexualization of Asian women, like those women working in those massage parlors, I definitely don't want to assume, but stereotypically, you know, they don't make as much money and they are kind of looked to as objects to give you your happy endings or, you know, not tip them. They don't speak English. Like they are in such like a minority bubble on its own and like desensitized to like what their normal like rights are. And like, I think that definitely fueled for him to be like, oh, they're so little and they're so other that it's nothing to take away their lives in this world to better me and like what my addiction is to like help cope with that.
Yeah. And I don't give a shit about your addiction. The fact that we know so much about you that you have a sex addiction means people took the time to talk to you.
Within the 12 hours of like all this happened, like, and you know for a fucking fact that if this was a black person, he'd be shot dead by now. Like the fact that he was unharmed getting arrested and put it aside to be able to have this conversation to like find more about, sure, this will give some closure or like, you know, answers to the questions of those people, like victims' families. But like, and the fact that, you know, because of this, they're increasing policing in Atlanta. Like, that doesn't help
them
either. And, like, this isn't, like, the oppression Olympics and we're trying to pit against each other. But, like, none of these solutions that the white people are putting on isn't the solution. And, like, I'm not saying there is, I know the solution or, like, what the answer is. But it's just, like, the rise of everything else is just getting harder and harder to, like, mediate because when one thing happens, we're just putting on a band-aid solution that actually hurts another community. It's like no one's winning except for the white supremacists.
Exactly. And police don't help us. Clearly, if you're a police, the white institution, the white police chief of that place, who is white, because I looked it up and I was just like, of course. And the whole institution is white.
And why are they
white?
Wearing that weird cowboy hat? It's like Pharrell Williams' hat. That, like,
I don't know. But regardless of whatever they're doing, the institution is white. The mouthpiece is white. The guy who's speaking. The suspect, the killer, is white, and you know, all three literally shake hands working in tandem and be like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like the fact that media, like the thing is, like, I work in media, so this is extra frustrating when you see situations where you're like, okay, so this fucking guy planned all these things just because we want the truth from this, the guy who killed all these people, and his truth is that his truth is like, oh, maybe he told him he had a bad day, you know? And they actually are just regurgitating and not even taking in the fact that this guy just went on a fucking murder spree, killing eight people, targeting Asian people. And the one thing to really stress is like, today's especially hard, of course, it's a fucked up day, but this has been continuing. Like, I'm just reading stats, like in the US, 150%, while like most hate crimes in major US cities went down 7% for Asian Americans, it's gone up by 150%, most of that being women. In Canada, 717% went up too, like Asian Canadians. So we can't just ignore the situation. And we obviously have a history where I'm going to speak for myself. And in the Chinese culture, like a lot of things are like, you don't really share your shit. You leave that in the family. You don't speak out and you do what all these things. And those things kind of feel to not have us, you know, people don't take us seriously. Sometimes the loudest person, the loudest people get the most attention, being like, yo, this is fucked up. And we haven't been able to do that more enough, I think, you know? So that's why we do Made In. We, you know, Made In is a positive space. It's a space where we talk about issues, but we have photos of people that represent us there, right? We have foods that we love. We've all those things collectively. We're just trying to show how human and different we are. We're individuals. We love our food. We love our people. We don't have that many people out here on a front-facing situation, which makes us harder, which makes us like easy targets, like these women who are not crazy rich Asians. They are not Bling Empire. If that's your representation of women, like, they make sub below, I don't even know if they make normal wages, to be honest. And they might be in a situation where they have no other option, or they were coerced to do this kind of job. Or maybe they're just working there and that's fine. But the thing is, like, these are not wealthy ass fucking women. Like, this is not Bling Empire. So the Asian representation we have out there is Bling Empire and crazy rich Asians. That is not like a great representation of who we are. We are billions of people. Majority of us live in poverty. The second majority of us is in low income. Like, I just hate the fact that, like, when you think of Asians, and I've seen tweets like, you know, like literally like, well, you know what? They're fine. They're doing great in like the schooling. What, like, that has nothing to fucking do with like yelling about anti-Asian racism. Like, I have no idea what that has to do with anything.
Yeah, I think like the model minority myth is what has like killed those women. Like, I think the fact that, you know, because we are, all the model minority kind of like, I guess, like characteristics that people are like familiar with, I think is what has brought us to like this moment where, you know, we have been seeing all these like violence against Asian news coming out, but like nothing actually has been actionable or like has changed. And then that has led to be like, okay, but like Asians are going to be okay. They're not speaking up. So they're going to be quiet. And like, you know, they're going to keep their head down and move along. But like that has brought up to this, like, moment of actually seeing people dead on the ground because like we didn't action fast enough. And yeah, I think it is important that like everyone is grouping Asian as all together. Like, of course, that is kind of like the common thread, the community that holds us together. But like, it is dangerous to, you know, assume that because Trump has made the China virus to be like an okay commentary, to have that narrative that every Asian is now Chinese, or like, you know, having that, those details do matter because that's stripping away our identity. And I think it is important to continue to share what the difference is and like not just lump us into one group, because that's so harmful to everyone that's involved too.
Yeah, and exactly what you said, like, we move as a unit because right now we already know that the widespread mainstream way of how we're being reported, how we are seen, all these kind of things, these racist attacks, we have to move as much as we can as a unit because clearly no one cares. It's like, they're not going to be like, hey, Jasmine, are you Chinese from China? Like, do you work for the Chinese Empire? Like, do you know the government? Do you like him? They don't give a shit and then start attacking. And even if that was the case, who the, like, attacks are not, are, that's not for anybody. No human should deal with that, right? Even if you're Chinese from China, you speak Mandarin, you are not the government. You do not make decisions. You just have to live your life. You were born there. You can't choose that. It's the same with North Korea. Like, yeah, the leader might be like someone here, you know, sensationalized. Everyone in North Korea is fucking crazy. Like, you know, people say that, but really they were just people. And that's why we lose those layers. It's the way we're reported. It's the way, you know, a president for 4 years has talked about us in general. And no one here has a thorough understanding that there's not an Asia represents billions of people, way more than white people in the world, way more than a lot of populations. And we have all different experience. We just want to be seen as an individual. However, in this fight, clearly, you know, we have a Filipino man in San Francisco being pushed and the elderly man getting killed. You know, what does he have to do with this in this whole Asian, like, when we're talking about China, if it's about the Kung, whatever people are saying about, like, yeah, China virus, as Trump says, like, there's nothing to do with that. Those kind of words obviously perpetuate just overall hate against all Asian people. No one is doing the work or even cares enough or thinks that we're human enough for us to learn our nuances. Me and you are different, Jazz. Like, obviously, we grew up differently. We can share similar threads because the way we looked and the way people have treated us has been, you know, we'll get the ni hao. We'll get the overly sexual, disgusting happy ending comment, you know, like, and somehow I'm supposed to be impressed by the fact that someone is like, you know, like a white dude is into me. Like, what the
shit
fuck?
Is
like,
not impressing.
No, yeah. Like, it's like, I am like, and it's within our own societies, right? Like, in some Chinese communities, there's like, you know, being with a white man is a win, you know, like, if you're doing it for those reasons, then what the fuck are you really doing? Like, finding a partner is a personal situation and there's no bounds to that. But really, when it becomes a situation like, oh, could you get yourself a white guy? Could you get, like, that's just literally white supremacy. Like, you yeah, are fulfilling their dream. Like, this is, you're working towards it. Like, I don't know what else to say.
I know. I think something that I'm thinking about is like, and something that I'll take a totally account, take myself accountable for, is that like the stereotypes that I have created for other Asian groups as well. So whether it's for like Chinese or Japanese, whatever. And I think if myself as an Asian can have that, whether it be a positive or a negative, I think it is really important for other people of who are white or of color to recognize those bias, unconscious biases and like stereotypes you have of them, of Asian culture as altogether or as individual, because that has what's fueled to, you know, continue the model minority myth and, you know, continue all these stereotypes that is clearly becoming harmful to us. And I think, yeah, speaking up for your friends who are making passing comments, whether it is, you know, demoralizing Asian like women as their sexuality, or, you know, just to say that, oh, all Chinese restaurants are cheap, or any little small things that we have made it to be normal and not standing up to like actually correct when things are spoken out, I think is something, a small step that we can continue to take to like really recognize like where are these like ideals coming from? Like, was it perpetuated by media that I saw or movie that I watched or like whatever it is? I think it is important to like continue to like take inventory of that and like assess with you in yourself, and then be confident enough to speak up if someone else is making those passes very casually, because it, at the end of the day, it is harmful.
Yeah. And the thing I think is important too, like that I just learned for myself, and I'm not an expert by any means, but you know, like my intrinsic feeling when I read this is anger, and you can sit with anger. Anger is productive. Anger is something you feel. You can't smother it by being like, okay, so what's the next thing we're going to do? You have to sit and understand. And maybe through that anger, you're like, I got to read more about what has happened. And, you know, there's like amazing tweets. Like for me, I'm a huge history person. It's not just because like I'm a history buff, but it's like that helps explain why we are here today, right? Like because people have broken ceilings for us. That's amazing. Maybe we are making progress. But then there's also situations where you're like, how does this happen? So I'm just going to read this tweet because it really spoke to me. It was like, mm-hmm. Where was he radicalized? The place where Chinese Exclusion Act, Japanese internment, firebombed Tokyo, Hiroshima, flooded North Korea, slaughtered innocent people in Vietnam, carpet bombed Laos and Cambodia, supported mass Indonesian massacre. And also when we talk about, you know, the U.S. occupation in the Philippines, that's his own situation too. That's like literally taking over a place. It became, you know, what was seen as liberating actually became not liberating. And this is where he's radicalized. This is America. This is literally where all these things happen. And to think that Canada didn't take a big part in that, Canada and America work together in tandem. They're allies. They work exactly in the same situations. And it's these army time ideals that generations of grandfathers, of whoever, of these army people have seen Asians just like
as nothing.
As like a using their women, killing their men, using the woman and then killing them too, you know, like they're not seen as real. And so like even in Canada's history, I've said it before, you know, our first Chinese people that were brought over to build a railroad, it wasn't a permanent situation. It was for like a slave type situation, much like, you know, if one dies, we'll just get another one. And they were never meant to be permanent. And we ended up here, you know, with people that fought for family inclusion that brought us over here. So more people can come over here. But the sentiment is so real and still the same, obviously. We can see that today. And so it's just like a big thing that's helped me, and I'll put some links in too, is like learning more about the history of all those situations. It's like, it's hard. It's hard to even take in. It's like, today was hard to function. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like how do you as a person, like obviously speaking up and all these things are included. It's part of us. Like today in your work situation, how have you felt? Like you?
Yeah. This has definitely been like the tip, like the straw that broke the camel's back with everything happening, where I really like sat with it like head first to see like what's going on. So like, yeah, like I was really heavy hearted. I was super distracted, like kind of getting started in the day. And, you know, I made the conscious effort to like write in our core group Slack channel about like, you know, because we do like outreach to American sellers as well at my job, just be mindful reaching out in that area because of like X, Y, and Z that has happened, and like kind of putting a call out so that anyone wants to talk with and that's made part of the AIPR or like allies community that wants to chat, like I'm available. And like that got really good like reception, and then also reached out to our AIPI group that I have within my work to kind of like share that sentiment. And yeah, like I was, to be honest, was like so distracted, like I couldn't even really get through my work without like taking time to read the latest and like kind of coming like consumed by it. And like, you know, just like really thinking about how it means. And I think it's hitting home because it was woman, and as an Asian woman, it's just like such a complex thought process to work through just with everything else that's been happening personally. So honestly, the word of the day just like really distracted, and like, I don't even know if I'm making any sense. And like, we also don't have the answers because we're just kind of like in the work in progress portion of it as well. So yeah, that just kind of have been sitting. And like, I was really surprised about like the emotional reaction that I was having to it. Not that I was like, something that I felt a little bit was that like with the rise of violence against like Asian communities, I was becoming a little bit desensitized because of my past of having that model minority myth, thinking that, you know, well, Asians never really speak up, so maybe it's not happening. Or, you know, well, everyone else is posting, and it was becoming a little bit more of like a trauma porn because everyone was really sharing those graphic images. And like, I personally couldn't really watch it because all I could think about was my own parents who own a small business in Canada, to think like, that literally looks like my mom. And obviously it's also because every Korean mother has the same perm haircut, but like, you know, like it was just a little, it was too close to home. So then I think maybe part of me like shunning it away also helped make me desensitize, but also, but the flood of everything that happened like last night really was like, holy shit, like we're in the thick of it. And like, I don't know how to get out.
Yeah. And like you've already pointed out, like not, I'm going to say, just knowing my culture, at least in my community, which is, we don't speak out on these situations. So there may have very well have been many attacks that we don't know about. Right. So like, we are just getting the tiny, we are just getting the surface of this. There are people that really are scared to come forward to the media, are scared to report their own situations. They don't trust the police. You know, obviously we just saw today how police can literally take a situation where 8 people have died and really humanize the fucking suspect for
the
some reason.
Killer.
And you know, when you're speaking, like when you were saying that, and even when I felt those things, I was like, oh, you know, like I don't know, like, and the thing is, like, being Asian women, I feel like we gaslight ourselves because of a history of gaslighting people, gaslighting us, like, it, you know, in our own culture, like in the Chinese culture, when we talk about the one baby that's saved, it's obviously the man, you know. And people that make decisions often in Asian societies, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, are men, right? They take the charge or whatever. And then in the situation in North America, Asian women are just like mostly silent. And every time that I have a point and I'm like, I don't know, like, you know, like I go through, oh, like the circus in my head before I want to say something. But that's why I've had this practice of where, like I said, I feel angry. I am not going to question this anger because I'm angry. I feel like we've spent our whole lives curating ourselves, you know, like, should I be angry? Are you sure this should be making me angry? Because we're Asian women.
Am I being sensitive? Am I being too dramatic?
Yeah. And we're Asian women who literally have been told to gaslight ourselves every second that we do it to ourselves. I feel like we should take this opportunity, you know, like to really express how we feel. Like maybe you write it personally to yourself. You don't have to put it anywhere, but like those kind of practices where like, you're like, yo, I'm just angry. And I think I'm allowed to be angry. And whether that translates in you feeling comfortable to share that, that's fine. You don't have to do that. Or even picking up the phone and just being like, I'm upset. Like, I'm so upset. Like, I'm whatever. We need to recognize that this is what it is. Like, even before they were like, okay, most people died were Asian women, but we don't know if it's racially motivated. Like,
what do you think? This is fucking...
I know, but
you.
Tell me why the hell in my own head, and I know like what he did, that I was like, I gotta make sure that this is true. Like, why do I even have to do that? I already know the facts are in front of me, the fact that I gaslit myself before even speaking on it, that's the practice that I have forever in my life, like, been going through. I think a lot of Asian women go through it too. They're like, they question themselves, they compare themselves to worse situations, they feel like when that comparison happens, they can't really say anything. And we're not really talking about like, oh, first world problems here. We're not talking about like, oh my God, like I couldn't get a phone, whatever. Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about in these situations where there are attacks, where there's cultural appropriation, I don't feel like if your intrinsic self is telling you I'm upset, like put it down somewhere. Like, those are important thoughts that make you, it's a visceral emotion that you're feeling. And for those, like, I feel like gaslighting is something that we, one of the biggest things that we deal with, like biggest things of our own that hold us back, that don't make
us. It's our inner saboteur.
Yes, that is exactly. Use the root words. That is our inner saboteur for sure. And it will always be something that like stops us from making a big point. Also the whole model minority thing, maybe I should just sit there and be quiet. Those two in tandem with other situations of your own cultural upbringing, It's very a volatile situation because we got people that don't speak, people who feel angry, but they're like, they convince themselves that they're not angry anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't say anything. And so for me, my conscious effort was never like, I've lived the life of being this like quiet, acute girl, like blah, 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 over sexual. I've done all that shit because that's how I thought I could survive in this world. And really like nothing has been more me than me like using my voice. And I'm not saying people got to blast that everywhere. Find your medium, do it with your friends, like privately. I don't know what you do, but we need to, as Asian women, not gaslight ourselves. Really.
I think you fucking nailed it. I think the thought process that we do have before we speak out is like gaslighting ourselves. Like even when you text me last night, my first question to you was like, wait, do you think this was racially charged? And you're like, fuck yeah, honey, it was. Like for me to let, to, cause that's how I was kind of like trained, right? To be like, okay, but I gotta wait until all the facts are in until they like talk to the person. Like, I don't want to make assumptions, but like when it was so clearly in front of me, like I was embarrassed that like I even had to question it myself. And
same though, yeah.
Something that I will be a bit sensitive to is that I had the opportunity to be in like an AAPI like listening group for my work, and someone briefly spoke up about experience she had in Toronto. Her parents are small business owners, and right when like the COVID lockdowns has happened, they weren't sure if their business was deemed essential, so they closed down for one day, and then when they opened up the next day, everyone in the community thought that like it was because they had COVID, so they were being targeted to like lose their business, like no one was coming through. So, and her sentiment was that like, you know, I do want to speak up, but if that jeopardizes my parents' business, or you know, in light of something like going wrong, like it is scary to have to speak up, because you know, let's say she does speak up, then their business is going to get targeted. And like, so I do understand there is that consequence. It's not always easy to be able to speak up because yeah, it's like something that we need to do. So that's something I will be sensitive about. And you know, I hope that if there is anyone in your community or any of your friends that you just like want to check in on, I really highly urge you to, because like what everything was happening leading up to this point, like I've had few people reach out, but like I also feel like brushed it off, being like, oh, like this is kind of the normal that we're at right now. But everyone kind of goes through it in a different way, and I think it is going to take time for people in different stages to feel it and need the support that they need. So just really urge you to kind of be a bit more intuitive and yeah, do what you can, whether that's sharing something on your story to like, you know, let someone know that you care, or that it is something that you're thinking about.
Yeah, and take your time to learn it. And what I saw that really was helpful, and obviously, like I've always said before, you know, Black people lead the way in the way that we can see, you know, fight, right? Then we have to work, again, in parallel with that movement. It is not an against movement. You may see certain people, like, it's just funny, like, if an Asian rub you the wrong way, you're going to take it on all Asians. That's not how we work here. That doesn't work for the Black community or anything like that. We need to, like, move forward. And so her suggestion was, like, you know, some people don't want the how are you, you know, like, they just maybe just send a heart. You know, a heart is a mm-hmm. something you can answer, something you don't have to answer.
Actually,
something
that, I would hate if someone just sent me a heart. I'd be like, really? These are words, man. Oh, no, don't ever
send me just want a heart. But no. I mean, there's no right answer. We're all individual people. This is the whole situation. You know, that's we're just true. Human. I'm not going to like roll my eyes and be like, oh, I have to go over this. If you say, how are you? It means a lot to me, really. Like mm-hmm. the fact that you reach out. But what we got to do now is I think we can find a link of resources, Jazz, that we can put on, you know, things to actually support. Here in Canada, we have the Butterfly. It's a group. It's that helps sex workers of Asian mm-hmm. descent, whether they choose to be in the industry or are coerced in that industry. They're people that help speak out for that. There's tons of them in other advocacy groups in America as well. So we'll try to get to see if there's any places that we can donate or anything like that, because, you know, obviously monetary things help, you know, with mm-hmm. the movement. But I think the biggest thing is learning, reading between the media, you know, not just taking it for what it mm-hmm. is, because again, the institution of media is white. The institution of police is white. The institution of government is white. So you like really need to like
use your head.
Yeah, I mean that's all I have to say. It's been a messy day, but yeah, and we'll be back. But we just felt we needed to say something.
Yeah, definitely a work in progress, and continuing on the conversation. We just wanted to like let you guys know that like we're having these conversations, and we're always available to have further conversations too. So yeah, keep us in mind as we will be thinking of you as well as things progress. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at. see you guys next time, hopefully with some better news. But yeah, see you guys.
See you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Made In. This episode was edited by the audio master, Josh Pardo. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at iMadeIn. We would love to hear from you and keep the conversation going.